Oh, six, right.
Having two, four, and six, last name.
Two, four, and six, last name.
How sweet the name of Jesus sound in the believing world live. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. Thy hand. Yeah.
water, yes. Time to continue on with our worship service in the way of prayer and preaching. And as always, we want to welcome everybody that's come to worship with us today at Reedsville Church. We appreciate your presence. It's another beautiful day that the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad therein. We sang an extra hymn. I was waiting for Elder Kirby to come in, and he was sitting in the back. I didn't realize he was here. I knew he had planned to come. We certainly appreciate these brethren come to be with us, Elder Bream from Shiloh Church and Elder Kirby from, I think his membership's at Pleasant Hill, but he pastors Julian Hill Church, and Elder Langham from Saints Delight. Well, trust we're all thankful for this privilege of assembling ourselves together and the Lord giving us grace once more to assemble here and to worship and to praise His wonderful name. This we will have to leave early. We thought maybe we might preach some after lunch, but we're going to go ahead and have all the preaching service before lunch and then break for lunch. And I have to go to a funeral this afternoon at my home church. My brother Echo Kuntz passed away yesterday, and it seems at 4:00. So if we leave a little early, you'll know why we're having to leave. We're going to ask you to turn to number 156 as a way of an opening hymn. Come thou fount of every blessing, and tune our hearts to sing thy praise. And we're going to ask Elder Brain, if he will, to come and to preach for us first, followed by Elder Kirby, and then by Elder Langham. And we trust that the Lord will indict your hearts with a prayer, as we're going to ask Brother Jake Batten from our home church to come and to lead us in prayer after we sing. Hope you'll be blessed to pray with him and for one another and for the service. The Lord will give these brethren the liberty of their calling, that he'll send his word forth with power, that we might be edifying to his dear people and uplifting, and not only edifying his people but honoring to our wonderful Savior and our God. We've learned that Sister Somners, who is in the rest home, fell and broke her leg. Also, Sister Stone is in the rest home. And Brother Livesey is not a member of this church, but he's a member of another one of our churches. He's in the rest home here in Reedsville. And Brother Harry Stanley from in Eden Rest Home. We want to remember them as we go to the Lord in prayer. Sing, brethren, when you're ready.
Come thou fount of every blessing, in my heart is sing thy praise. Great thou mercy, never ceasing.
Teach me some man, love and song. thee so much for the privilege of assembling ourselves together to bring praise, honor, and glory to thy holy name. We thank thee for the help that everything it takes to bring us to, for us to be here. And dear Lord, we pray for the sick, all that's been mentioned, from the pulpit, and the sick and afflicted of thy children in every nation, kindred, and tongue. And we pray, O Lord, that those of us that are losing our health because of old age or because of sin, that thou would be with us and show us, help us to see that thy grace is sufficient. And dear Heavenly Father, we pray, oh, that depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Almighty Heavenly Father, who hath been thy counselor, who hath known the mind of the Lord? For of him, and to him, and through him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to see how blessed we are that thou loved us, cared for us, and allowed us to sit at the banquet and table of thy grace, where we are made rich by thy free, sovereign mercy. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for each of these speaking elders here and pray that thou would give them the grace needed to approach the throne of grace boldly, proclaim the mystery of Jesus Christ. And give us, Lord, the seeing eye, ear, and ear, and the understanding heart. Give us a teachable and learnable spirit. And merciful Heavenly Father, we pray that thou would receive our thanks, accept our praise, and forgive our sins. And help us, dear Lord, to worship thee and serve thee in spirit and in truth. In Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Holy name we pray.
Amen. 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 Elder Brain, shall we? Lord, bless you. God bless you, Brother. I come before you in much weakness. I'm not very long-winded. I'm not very learned. But I come to you depending on our Lord and Savior. As the men of old, on down through the Bible. They all depended on God. And they had faith in God. I was reading last night where Moses gained faith when he said, I know not how to go to them, and how would they believe me if I went? And the Lord told him to throw his rod down on the ground. And he trusted in the Lord and threw it down, and it became a serpent. And fearing to pick it up. But he told him to pick it up again, and when he grabbed it by the tail, it became a rod again. We all have to go trusting in the Lord and Savior. Noah come along doing the same thing. He told him to build an ark because it was going to rain. He'd never seen it rain before, but yet trusted in the Lord that, and believed that it was going to rain from above, and built an ark. I believe it reads 120 years in building an ark, and very few believed in him, mainly just his family. We have to go trusting in the Lord. This is amazing grace, how it comes to us and how it penetrates the hard and stony heart and makes a heart of flesh out of it, makes a believing heart, a trusting heart, if you will. trusting in the Lord and Lord Jesus and His Father. I believe in that the Son of God is the Son of God, and He came to save His own. They were numbered and gave to Him from before we was ever thought about. The number was given to Him, and He knew what He came into this world for. He and the Father were one, and He said, for this cause came I into the world, or for this reason came I to this day. And He said, I come in the volume of the book, but to do nothing but to save the sinners. If you was well, you wouldn't need to go to a doctor. But if you were certain and sick, a physician would be what you'd seeking. And when you're sick in heart and desiring a little spiritual food, Jesus is the one you go to. That spiritual doctor is the one that you seek out. He is the one that came to you when you was desolate and without help, and you felt like you didn't have a friend on earth or one in heaven. But when He came to you and you realized that He was your Savior, and that you realized He was the only one that could help you to travel this uneven journey of life, and the end, He was the only one could bring you out of that grave. As I tell them a lot of times, I looked after the cemetery at Shiloh for a number of years, and it hurt my feelings when I first started walking and riding over the graves. But He made me to reconcile that I could not disturb Him. But I know one from above can say, come up a little higher, and they'll come out of them graves. I don't know whether they'll open or what, but they will come out of that grave, and they will meet Him in the midway air where He has split the sky. That cloud that He will like manner that He went up into, will in like manner He will come back down through. He will not come back down here on earth, but He will meet you in the air and carry you home to forever be with the Father. And not only in the books of Old Testament, it goes on over into the New Testament. When this man Nicodemus, he also had faith in this Lord Jesus had come down here. He trusted in Him, and he went to Him by night even to ask Him, what must I do to be saved? And just anywhere you want to open your Bible to, it gives you trust and belief that you've got to believe in the Lord Jesus Son, and that He is the Son of God, and that He did come to this earth to seek and to save those that was lost. Them that He already had, He did not have to seek and to save. But those that was lost is the ones that He seeked, and that He did save, and that He did die for on the cross, and that He will resurrect on that last day, and will come back to the Father and say, here are thine. They were thine, and thou givest them to me. And now I present them back to you, a spotless and whole and blameless. And all of the good things will come unto you. You ain't never seen nothing good here on earth. That what you will see when you enter into that kingdom of heaven. May God richly bless you, is my prayer. God bless
you. Brother Richard Curtis. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. We apologize for being late. We got lost. But the Lord bless us to find our way here. And that's what we should be thankful for. We trust that you continue to pray for us this morning as we try to stand before you just a little while. Certainly enjoyed what the brethren said before us. We had a couple thoughts on our mind coming this way. And right now, I'm not really sure which one to choose. I'm not like a lot of preachers. They kind of know what they're going to talk about. I don't. I just kind of have to wait till I get there and feel it out. And we trust that the Lord will be in the matter. But we have a scripture in Romans, well, in Luke 2. We want to go to Luke chapter 17 first. We spoke on this not long ago, and it's still fresh on our minds. And I believe what was good then was good now. I don't believe none of it grows old. And I think we can use the same scriptures over and over again and get new messages and new teachings from it, or grow in the regular or the main teaching of the scriptures. Luke chapter 17, we find that this chapter deals with two or three different subjects. But we want to begin with verse 11. You have your Bibles this morning. Turn to Luke 17, verse 11. We'll start with this and see how the Lord would bless and go from there. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met with him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go shew yourself unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise and go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." In dealing with this, I see myself as one of those 10 lepers. Have you ever realized yourself as being a leper? First off, we want to know what a leper is. A leprosy is this a disease of the skin, and it deteriorates the body. It even goes to the bones and deforms and deshapes the body. Sin, as we knew it and as we do know it, still does that to men today. And I want to compare this disease of leprosy with the disease of sin. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Are there any sinners here this morning? Because that's the only persons that I can talk to this morning. Now, if you're above sin this morning, I don't have nothing to say to you, because I ain't reached that level yet, and I don't know what to say to you. But I want to talk to sinners this morning who know they are sinners, who have been made aware of their sinful condition. And I want to ask you a question. How did you know that you were a sinner? Now, a lot of people go around using this word, "I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm unworthy." But that's not the matter. The matter of the fact is, how do you know you are? Who told you you was? And the scripture teaches us that only God, in his magnificent glory, when he condescends into the heart of a dead, alienated sinner, Now, we believe in Adam all died. Do you? In Adam all died. There was none left. Some evangelists, TV evangelists, and other people try to stress this, that Adam didn't all the way die, that something was left. But brethren, I don't believe that this morning. I believe that all died means all of Adam died. And all that proceeds from Adam died, even though they sin not after the same similitude, they are still dead because from Adam we all came. And we find that in Adam we are dead in trespasses, in sins. When we are dead, there is no consciousness in the spiritual realm of God. When we are dead in sins, brethren, we have no desire to free ourselves. We have no desire to be born again or to seek after God, because those things are dead to us, and we, in that state, are dead to it. That's contrary to what most of the world believes. But yet it is the truth. And that's what we want this morning. We don't want hearsays. We want thus saith the Lord. And we find that Adam, in Adam all died, and all that proceeded from Adam were dead also. So we see that we were in need from the very beginning. One old preacher said, hallelujah, we were in need. We were in need, brethren. Have you ever felt to be in need this morning? Why do you feel like you're in need this morning? That's what we want to try to come back to and answer, if the Lord would bless us. These lepers knew that they were sick. These lepers knew that they had something wrong with them. And according to the law of Moses, a leper was to be outcast. Have you ever felt to be outcast this morning? Have you ever felt that you did not belong? Have you ever felt that you were a stranger? Even though you might be in a congregation of people and people just talking and mingling, but you were seemingly left out. Have you ever felt that this morning? I know that's bringing it pretty close to home, but that's what we want to get. Because I believe that's what this Bible is all about. It's getting to us. And it is to revive us. It is to strengthen us. It is to comfort us. It is to edify us, that we might acknowledge Him. Here are these lepers being outcast, and the law forbid any leper to dwell in the camp. And they had a ceremonial ordinance for the cleansing of a leper. First off, he had to go to the priest and acknowledge that he was a such. Then the priest would call for some evidence that he was. That reminds me of this, and I've used this two or three times, and I think it's still good, about evidence, that if they would come here and arrest all of us for being Christians, could they find any evidence against us? Could they find any evidence? Could they convict us this morning of being Christians, so-called? Or God's people. Let's use that word. That's a better word. You know, Christian, the word Christian was used to mock God's people. The Bible says in the book of Acts there, they were first called Christians where? At Antioch, for the reason of mockery, or to speak against them. It was nothing good, as some men would like to say that it is today, but it's a good word to use, because Peter says, if any man suffer as a Christian, he receives a reward, does he not? A reward here in time. A lot of people think our rewards are in heaven, that our rewards are now, and it's based upon our actions now. If we sit down and do nothing, do we respect anything of a reward? No, we'll just get what's coming to us. But I don't want that. I want some of those blessings that God gives, and surely we all get blessings whether we do anything or not. Woke up this morning, the sun was shining, and yet last night went to bed, it was raining. That was two blessings in one. You know that? In other words, the just and the unjust are blessed whether they know it or not. Now, we have blessings whether we acknowledge it or not. We realize that. But there's also a special blessing, I believe, in carrying out in obedience. And here what this lesson teaches is very much teaching this, I believe. That this lesson here, that these lepers knew that they was because, brethren, of their physical need, they stood in need of help. Just like us sinners, when God comes to our hearts and he quickens us and makes us alive, what is the first thing we realize? I need help. I'm lost. I'm in trouble. Have you ever felt that? I'm in a need of a Savior this morning. I'm in a need of somebody standing in the gap and pleading my case before the throne of God because I have sinned. I have come short. Now some men think that they can argue their own case, but brethren, I ain't never seen nobody can do that in the church. Christ is the only mediator, according to the Word of God, between God.